acceptable in your sight, that you might through your word speak to our hearts and that you might encourage your people. We pray for a blessing. We pray for a blessing in our lives. We pray for a blessing upon our nation. We thank you for the elections just gone. We pray that you might use this time to raise up those into positions of authority that may be soft to you. We pray for our church as it finds itself somewhat isolated through the virus that has afflicted a lot of the world. We pray for your mercy, and we pray for you to work in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So welcome to you. Just as we start, we're going to share a few announcements and things that I would appreciate you to be praying for and be aware of. Certainly, we are unable to meet as a church, so here I am preaching to essentially an empty church. And Brother Darshan is here recording this for us. So all ministries are suspended as a result of the restrictions in place in preventative measures for the coronavirus. We will do our best to upload a message and some announcements in the morning and in the evening each Sunday. And we are planning to utilize a method of meeting on Wednesday night for our prayer and Bible study using an app on your phone, tablet, or just on your PC called Zoom Cloud Meeting. If you're not familiar with that or find that that's a bit too hard to research on your own, please let us know. I would like as many people as possible to be able to attend what is a group Skype meeting where we will have a brief devotion and then spend some time together in prayer. But it will afford us a wonderful opportunity to see each other's faces. So that's this Wednesday. I will text people an invitation that you can respond to just by following the links. But if you are a little unfamiliar or that's a bit daunting to you, just let myself or one of the deacons know. Freedom is suspended for the moment. Prime Time and Proteins, our youth ministries are into recess as well, along with seniors. Please be in prayer for one another, particularly those that are sick and afflicted or at risk. We have a number of our congregation that are battling underlying health issues, and we need to be praying for one another that we might be okay this flu season. Do please pray for our nation, obviously the results of the election, but also the economy going forward, job security, and all of these concerns which are weighing heavily upon the minds of many. So be praying for the Lord's mercy. I'm asking the Lord to bless me with opportunities to share the gospel with the lost, and I would encourage you to do the same. Even though we are somewhat restricted in our movements, we still have opportunities to speak with people, and we do want to be praying for the Lord to use us in these days. I would also encourage you to be praying that the Lord might knit us together as a body, even in the midst of isolation. There are a number of prayer points, but also if you have a look on our website or if you have an old list of prayer points or prayer requests from our Wednesday night meetings, please be in prayer for one another as a church, praying for each family, working your way through our congregation. We're going to have a Bible reading. If you turn in your Bibles while you're watching there to Psalm 1, just going to look at the first, well, all six verses of Psalm 1 as we commence. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be wondering how we're going to sing together. I'm going to leave the singing up to you. If you want some suggestions for some hymns that you might sing amongst yourselves, perhaps in the small gatherings that you're able to to have in your homes. I would suggest Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, number 185 in your hymn book. Or perhaps What a Friend We Have in Jesus, 354. I won't sing them solo here in the church to be broadcast on the internet, but I would encourage you to take some time to pray together, to sing our great hymns of the faith, to sing these wonderful songs of encouragement to God's people, and to have your Bibles open as we come to consider His Word. I've been asked a couple of times again about tithing and how people will be able to support the work here and our missionaries. Please find the BSB and account details for our church in some text messages that I've sent circular to everyone, or on our church website. If you go to the services drop down and then down to tithes menu, you will find our BSB and account number. I would encourage you to keep supporting our missionaries. They are finding things difficult, like all of us. Do be praying and supporting these ongoing needs. With that said, I would ask you to take up your Bibles and turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and we will consider a message this morning that flows on in some ways from our thoughts of last week when we considered a message titled The Pandemic of Fear. The Lord reminded us last week that as Christians we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us. He loves us and cares for us. Today we take some time to consider a message titled Our Response to Loneliness. The 21st century, even prior to 2020, has been a lonely time for a great many. There are more humans alive than ever before, more methods of communicating than ever before through phone, email, text, FaceTime, and all these other video messaging apps. All of these ways to connect with people, yet people are more distant from one another, finding less fellowship, less companionship, less fulfillment as the years go by. And that's prior to January, February 2020, where we have literally been isolated one from another. And I know that though we still have opportunity to minister to one another and to care, show care for one another, we are facing days of difficulty. Loneliness will be something we all deal with in the days, weeks, perhaps even months ahead. Let's pray as we consider what the Word would have for us today. Dear Lord, we thank You for our time. We thank You for Your Word which speaks to our need. And I pray that Your Spirit might minister to us the truth and meet the needs of our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn in your Bibles to Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and I will just look at one verse here in Psalm 69, then another in Psalm 73, as we consider what is our appropriate response to loneliness. But Psalm 69, verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. And I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Psalm 73 and verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. The scourge of loneliness is something that hits us all from time to time. It may last a moment, a day. It can, for some, last a lifetime. If we were able to define loneliness, perhaps we would use a definition like, loneliness is the painful awareness that we lack meaningful connection with others. It involves within it a feeling of inner emptiness which cannot be satisfied, or apparently cannot be satisfied. It is accompanied by sadness, by discouragement, by even a sense of isolation, restlessness and anxiety, and an intense desire to be wanted and needed. Loneliness is something that is indiscriminate. We have all experienced loneliness from time to time, and we know what it is to be left out and feel alone. to feel unwanted or rejected by others, even when we're surrounded by family and friends or a church. We know what it is to feel trapped within ourselves. You know, people who suffer acute loneliness often find themselves thinking, well, since nobody wants to be with me, I guess I'm not worth being with. And it leads to, pardon me, it leads to a sense of worthlessness. Now, let me don't make a distinction here. Loneliness is very different to isolation. Loneliness is very different from solitude. Loneliness is forced upon us. Solitude is a voluntary withdrawal from people. Solitude can be a refreshing experience, something that we all enjoy from time to time. It's rejuvenating. But loneliness is something that's painful. It's draining. It's discouraging. Solitude can be started and stopped at our own will. We can choose when we start and when we stop. But loneliness is something that sweeps over us and hangs on despite our best efforts to cast it off. Vance Havner is a South American preacher, and he put it this way. He said, one of the worst things about loneliness is that you can't run away from it. Now, when we look into the Bible, we find that from Genesis through to Revelation, God doesn't mention loneliness specifically. He does, however, state the first thing that is not good in Genesis 2:18. Before sin had entered the world, before Adam and Eve fell and sin destroyed what God had made in perfection, in Genesis 2:18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmate for him." God at the very beginning knows or knew that human beings needed other human beings to live. No man is an island. But in spite of the very beginning and God's first declaration of that which is not good prior to sin, in spite of this, the Bible doesn't address directly loneliness. Yet we see it frequently in the lives of many of the great saints of the faith. Jacob, Moses, Job, Nehemiah, Elijah the prophet, Jeremiah, David the psalmist. We've read from him already in the first couple of the first references we mentioned, but in Psalm 25:16, David, the great psalmist, the man after God's own heart, he said, "Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted." And of course, there is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is known to us as the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We esteemed him stricken of God and afflicted. Jesus Christ experienced loneliness. He knew what it was to be rejected by his own people, to be abandoned by his disciples at the end of his days, at the end of his earthly life and his ministry. There in the Garden of Gethsemane, even his disciples had failed and fallen asleep. And after this, later they desert him and he's nailed to the cross at Calvary. And then there's that great cry of desperate desperation. That great cry from the cross, expressing his forsakenness, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Then we continue on through the scriptures and we see John the Baptist, who in his imprisonment was discouraged and lonely. And he was asking for his disciples to come back with word about who this Jesus is and is it really him? He was executed. The last book of the Bible written by John the Apostle, exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and we don't know anything about the human interaction he had or didn't have there. Paul, spending his last days in prison, writing the words we find in 2 Timothy where he says, "Only Luke is with me." Great men of the faith have been afflicted by that familiar foe, loneliness. Even this brief glance by way of overview into the lives and just even the mention of their names, some of these great men of the faith, should be enough to confirm that loneliness afflicts even mature saints. Loneliness is not just for the weak. It's not just for the spiritually immature. It's not just for the lost. It is not a respecter of persons. It can afflict the great and the mighty or the lowly. William Carey, who is known to be the father of modern missions in India, said these words in his diary: "Oh, that I had an earthly friend on whom I could unbosom my soul. No matter who you are, saint or sinner, giant or dwarf spiritually, you may, and I suspect will, be affected by loneliness." I want to say this: loneliness is not a sin. Feeling lonely and being afflicted by it is not a sin. Now, we could spend some time this morning considering the causes of loneliness, which are many and varied. And perhaps people find themselves in a state of loneliness because of bereavement. And I feel and I am burdened for widows and widowers who have spent time with a spouse and then had that union and that fellowship broken through death. It's something that I've never been through. Queen Victoria, after the death of her husband, said this: "There was no one left to call me Victoria. The intimate relationship was gone, and the Queen of England and of the Empire could say there was no one left to call her Victoria." So we often think of, when we think of lonely people, we think of perhaps the bereaved. Perhaps we think of those that have had family and friends move away or perhaps relocated into states. Maybe we think of those that have gone through divorce or are in loveless marriages. Perhaps we should think of children that have been adopted. We find people all throughout our community afflicted with this. We should extend our comprehension of who struggles with loneliness, because it's not just those that obviously have cause. We could ponder all of the reasons why people grow lonely, but that's not our intent today. We could also think of all the effects of loneliness, all of the challenges that rise because of it. But the truth is today, you and I don't need to be told why we're lonely or what loneliness does. If we have any sensitivity to the Spirit, we will know that we're lonely and we will likely know its effect. The question that I would like us to consider and in part at least try to answer is: how do you respond and how do you cope with loneliness? That's the big question for us this morning. How do we respond? How do we cope? I'll give you some advice given by psychiatrists and psychologists. Those who don't know any better say that in order to deal and cope with loneliness, you should change your scenery, change your job. Perhaps you should join a club. You should be positive. You should get married or perhaps get divorced or get remarried or travel the world or move or listen to music or turn on the TV or read good books or take up a hobby. Renew your goals, volunteer for some good cause. You see, those things may give some fake help. It's maybe help somewhat temporarily, perhaps artificially is a better word. But they don't remedy the deep down pain. Perhaps they numb the surface. Perhaps they distract people a little bit. But what I want to talk with us about today is some Bible guidelines on how to cope with loneliness. Some Bible guidelines on how to cope with your loneliness. Before we get into it, I don't know your pain. I don't know the circumstances you face, and I haven't walked in your shoes. I don't claim to. These guidelines, I hope, are not offensive, but more food for thought and consideration, prayerful consideration. I can give you the Word of God and pray that God's grace will help you in that. The first of three steps. Firstly, you need to learn to accept what can't be changed. You say, this sounds like I don't know how many steps there are in AA, 12-step program. Accept what can't be changed. There is an important truth to that. You cannot always change the circumstance or circumstances which cause loneliness within our soul. We would love to start over. We would love to go back 10 years and enjoy those years before separation or before bereavement. We would love to change the circumstances of our lives, but we can't wind the clock back. We can't change what has happened. Sometimes we can't change what is happening today. We must accept that we face loss, we face isolation, and even as hard as we pray, things sometimes don't change. What I want to say is, for many people, the biggest problem is not their loneliness, but their struggle to accept the circumstances which place before them the temptation. The greatest challenge often people face is not their loneliness, but their struggle with the circumstances which lead to it. If only this didn't happen, then I'd be okay. If only this was right, then things would be good. If only then. One of the first steps towards dealing with the loneliness within our soul is to accept what can't be changed. In fact, it's even more than that. It's to embrace that loneliness. Turn in your Bibles, please, over to Philippians chapter 4 to hear what Paul had to say. It seems almost too easy to turn to a proof text and just quote it glibly. And the Apostle Paul, he practiced what he preached. But in Philippians 4, verse 11, he spoke here and gives us a great principle. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." It doesn't mean jumping for joy, but it does mean, in respect to the areas of life that you can't change, instead of trying to struggle and fight with it, to perhaps even shake the fist at God and say, "Why aren't you answering my prayers and changing my circumstances the way I want?" Instead of responding with bitterness within our spirits, we yield to what God is doing. And we embrace that. We know that there is a heavenly Father in glory, a benevolent, loving, good God who blesses His children. He is working all things together for good, according to His sovereign purposes and will for us. Now, that's easy to say. Perhaps what we need to do today is realize that all of the anxiety, struggling with accepting our circumstances, causes more anxiety, more pain, more stress, and even makes us feel more lonely. The more we worry about it, the worse it gets. Remember last week we looked at the Sermon on the Mount, or at least a portion of it, where Jesus called us to consider the lilies and consider the birds. But part of that section of text that we looked at last time, Jesus said, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? If you worry about it, can you make yourself taller?" Well, last week we talked about fear. We said we need not worry. Today we speak about loneliness, and I ask you for the same, give you the same application or exhortation. Don't worry. All the worry in the world will not help. God is providential in His dealings. He is in control, and He has allowed circumstances into our lives, and as hard as it may be for us, we must embrace them. Loneliness is not sin. But how we respond to that loneliness can be. If we find ourselves alone and dealing with the sadness that that brings, we can choose to say, "Okay, thank you, Lord, for the trial in which I find myself." Or we can fight against that, and we can complain within ourselves. We can mope. We can find a listening ear who we can pour out our frustrations to. We can be very self-focused. The first thing we need to do is accept what can't be changed. Yield to what God is doing. Accept that we can't change them and allow our spirit to be content with whatsoever state we find ourselves in. But lest you think that what I'm telling you to do is defeatist, that it's simply giving up and going, "Well, I can't change it, so what am I going to do? I'm just going to just deal with it." The second point I'd like for us to consider is, firstly, we need to accept the things we can't change, but secondly, we need to alter what can be. A lot of people that find themselves alone and lonely is partly because of their own actions. A lot of lonely people are lonely because they shut out others. Have you cut yourself off from friends, family, and even the church? Are you interested in being involved in church activities? Now, I know in current circumstances this is difficult. But even to gather together on Wednesday night through the group meeting, through the computer or your phone, have you got a desire to do that? Because often lonely people will cut themselves off. If only they would be more involved and more open. If they altered the circumstances a little bit, but the things that they could change, if they changed them, it might help. Getting to church regularly. Making time for a meeting or an accountability meeting with a friend or friend in the Lord, just so that you can share the burdens of your heart and find godly counsel and encouragement. Don't be a person who sulks in self-induced seclusion. Don't shut yourself off. Don't feel sorry for yourself and then wonder why you're lonely. I suppose that's what I'm trying to say. You know, if you fail to yield to what the Lord is doing in circumstances and fail to embrace them, often that leads to a failure for us to act in ways that are appropriate, ways that God expects. We sin in our hearts and in our minds, and then we sin in our actions. We become very self-focused and we shut others out. We find ourselves looking to Philippians, I think it's 2 verse 4 says, "Look not every man to his own things, but every man also to the things of others." And we find ourselves looking on our own things. We need to alter what can be changed. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs 18. Very practical principle here for us. Proverbs 18, verse 24, a verse that you will know. "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly." Very wise proverb. A man that would have friends needs to be friendly. And a man that has many friends is friendly. And there is connection there. I've found that often the people who are battling loneliness are people who complain about their loneliness, and typically they're not the friendliest people. Often it's hard to get a smile. Often it's hard to encourage them. Loneliness is not sin, but the way we respond to that loneliness can be. Loneliness leads us into places where the devil lays before us very real and very appealing temptations, where we can find ourselves questioning God's love and His goodness. And we can grow very self-focused and be introverted. We can just focus on our own circumstances, and then we fail to be the friends we're called to be. Scripture is full of instruction, specific instruction, on how we ought to encourage one another, how we ought to be as brothers and sisters in Christ. We ought to serve one another. Jesus set the example by washing the disciples' feet. We are to love one another as He loved us. We are to be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. We are to be of the same mind. We're not to judge one another. We're to receive one another. There's so many in the Scriptures that we don't have time for. Don't allow loneliness and despair in your heart to cause you to be unfriendly. Look for opportunities and occasions to encourage others in their walk with the Lord. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. But the third principle or guideline: firstly, accept the things you can't change. Secondly, alter the things that can be. And certainly prayer comes into that. But thirdly, we look at the last part of Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And this is where we divert from modern psychology, because modern psychology might repeat those two first steps, but they don't have the answer, which is this third. He is the only refuge for the lonely. You could surround yourself with friends and relatives. You could engage yourself with all kinds of activities and still be the loneliest creature on the face of God's earth. H.G. Wells is a famous author. I think he wrote War of the Worlds, Time Machine and others. And he was quoted, it's quoted of him saying, "I am 60 and I am lonely and I have never found peace." He's also known to have been married twice and have had many affairs through his life. A man seeking peace and never finding. A success in the literary world, but at the end of his life, he was, according to himself, one of the loneliest men who never found peace. Just in case there's someone tuning in or listening that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour, I want to explain that there is a spiritual loneliness within the heart of every man, every woman, that can only be filled with a personal relationship with your Creator God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way that lack of peace that H.G. Wells testified of, that spiritual loneliness can be dispelled from your dark heart. It is by and through salvation in Jesus Christ that requires of you to repent and to believe, to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. You see, God himself even declared in Genesis 2 that people need people. It is not good for man to dwell alone. And many people in our modern world have concluded that human contact is the only need, the only solution for loneliness. But the scriptures plainly tell us that there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you're a Christian and you battle with loneliness, what I want you to do on a regular basis is remind yourself of the kind of Savior that you have. To remind yourself of the kind of Savior that you have. I'm talking about a practical exercise where you sit down with your Bible, a pen and a piece of paper. Write down all that Jesus means to you as a Christian. He loves you unconditionally, doesn't he? He cares for your every need. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, he will love you perfectly because you're saved by grace. He's not some fair-weather friend. His love was so great that he demonstrated it to us, to the world, by dying, stretching out his arms on the cross to save you. He literally took our sin to himself. He took our sin as though it was his own, and he carried it to Calvary, and there he laid down his life as a satisfactory payment for our sin, that we may be brought into his family, adopted children into his family. He's become a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When he was going to leave the disciples, he told them in John chapter 14 and John 16 that he would go, but he would come again. When he said, "I'll come again to you," he wasn't saying, "I will come in the second coming, in the end of the days," but he was talking about coming in the form of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. He's given us the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, as a companion. Not some impersonal force or influence, not kind of some cosmic entity, but a person, a friend, as real as Jesus, and he resides in your heart. When we read the book of Romans, we read of a friend that is within, a friend that helps with our infirmities, who understands us in our weakness when no one else understands. He helps us. And when you just don't know how to pray, you don't have the words to pray, the Spirit gives utterance. It's not some speaking in tongues, simply that the Spirit is uttering for us, praying for us. He knows us in our moments of anxiety and fear. He knows us in our moments of loneliness, and he is there within our hearts interceding for us. The mighty thing about his ministry is that day by day we're living down here, no matter what circumstances we go through, no matter how difficult they may be. He's in us, working in us to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, believer, when we battle with loneliness, what are we dwelling on? What thoughts fill our minds? So I challenge you, write down a list of all the things that you are in Christ, a new creation, adopted into the family, joint heirs with Christ. Write them down. Make a list of all the blessings that you have. You know, Ephesians 1 is a good place to start. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So go through Ephesians and write down all the blessings. Go through the New Testament and write down the promises. List them and go over them regularly. You know, doing that and filling your mind with the things that are pure and true and honest, just, lovely, virtuous, of good report. If we spend time meditating on those things rather than the circumstances, then our loneliness is less acute. We may still feel lonely, but how do you cope with that? How do you respond to circumstances of life when they cause us to be lonely? What other companion could we need apart from Christ who understands us perfectly? One who dispels the loneliness. You know, dispelling the loneliness is about cultivating a relationship, our relationship with our God. That's the answer. Cultivating companionship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And in these days, that is ever more important. Solomon in Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." If you think lonely thoughts, you'll feel more lonely. But if you think godly and Christ-centered thoughts, that God is very real, that his presence can be known, that he communicates to you through his word, if you think on these things, it will cultivate a closeness with your God. In doing so, you'll also realize that although God can be sensed and God can be heard through his word, God can hear us too. He is a spirit and he is not tangible. He can't be touched. Why do I mention this just as we come to a conclusion? Sometimes what we need is practical. He can't be touched. He can't be seen with our eyes. He can't be felt with the hands. But there is a body of Christ on the earth today, and that is the Church of the Living God. That is us. Jesus has no arms down here, but our arms. Do you get it? In our independent Baptist circles, we fail this. The church ought to be a helping and healing community which radiates life and love, acceptance, and supports one another. We're meant to be his body. And when one member hurts, we should all hurt. John said in his first epistle, 1 John, he said, "But whoso seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" If we see a brother in need and we close up our mercy, close up our Christian love, then that makes me question our salvation. That's what John was saying. But I don't want you to miss the main point this morning. More than all the fellowship in the world, fellowship with friends, fellowship with family, what everyone needs is fellowship with Jesus Christ. Especially lonely Christians, we need to fellowship with our God. F.B. Meyer is quoted as saying, "Loneliness is an opportunity for Jesus to make himself known." And in the days that lie ahead, surely that is true. Our response to loneliness is to cultivate our relationship with Jesus Christ, accepting the circumstances we can't change, changing the things that can be altered, but cultivating our closeness with our Saviour, who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And also to cultivate our closeness with his body on the earth, which is the church. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you again for the time we've had this morning in your word. I pray that you might encourage your people. We will all face the temptation to complain about circumstances, to fight and to mope and to grow bitter in our heart. I pray that you might help us to accept circumstances, to do what we can do from within them, and to draw ever closer to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.